Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, look, last week on this show, Archbishop Dermot Martin talked to me about intolerance and the messages of hate he's been receiving, including from fellow Catholics. On Thursday, Dublin Lord Mayor Hazel Chew spoke about the barrage of racism she's received since entering politics. She says so-called dog whistling is preying on people's natural fears during this pandemic. Well, next Monday is the anniversary of Kristallnacht, the pogrom against Jewish people, property and synagogues across Germany, which was carried out by members of the Nazi Party, while the authorities and many non-Jews simply looked on. So why is it important that we remember events like this? Well, let's ask two of the most prominent members of the Jewish community in Ireland, the Oscar-nominated director Lenny Abrahamson and the gallerist Oliver Sears. Good morning to you both. And Oliver,
I'm going to start
with you. Look, almost a century on, why do you think it is important that we talk about the Holocaust? I mean, I had the privilege of talking to you before on this programme about Monica, your mom, who was a Holocaust survivor. She escaped from a train en route to Treblinka in 1943. But why is it important to remember, Oliver?
Well, we're certainly living in a time where Western democracies are facing the kind of assaults that we could possibly compare to the situation in Germany in the 30s. I think we have to be careful. We should never say that history repeats itself. I'm much happier looking at events in their context and saying perhaps history rhymes. I think that with Kristallnacht in particular, you had an event that galvanized opinion in the whole of Germany, the Sudetenland and Austria, which at that time were also under German occupation. And in a sense, the Nazis were testing opinion. How far could they go? The Nuremberg laws brought in the 30s were already reducing and stripping away the rights of their Jewish citizens. But they had not gone to this extent. And I think that, frankly, I've said for years, democracy is gossamer thin. We're not simply entitled to it. We have to fight very, very hard to keep it. And by studying events like Kristallnacht, we can understand how democracy loses its strength incrementally.
Absolutely. And Lenny, your own family emigrated to Ireland, I know from talking to you before the worst excesses of the Nazi era. But to what extent, you know, were you aware of the Holocaust in your life growing up? Like, was it something your grandparents, who I know came from Eastern Europe, were you aware of it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, because my mum's father and mother left Poland in the 30s. My grandfather was looking for work and travelled across Europe and eventually got a job in a glass bottle factory in Belgium, which opened up the glass bottle factory in Ringsend in Dublin eventually. And he was sent over as a skilled worker. So it's just accidental that he got to Ireland. But half of his very large family ended up in the camps. So my mum remembers really vividly, you know, that phase where contact was lost and then the news started to come through from Europe about what was really happening. And so that was a kind of a bereavement that lingered through the generation, well, you know, one more generation to me. So very, very aware of it growing up, very aware of these sort of fragments of family that had survived and were in various parts of the world and the stories of those who were missing. So, yeah, it was something that felt very recent and is very recent. You know, I think it's hard for people who were born after the war and certainly people who were born in the last 20 years to sort of recognize how recent it was, but for our family it was a very present kind of wound.
And staying with you, Lenny, and then I'll go back to you, Oliver. Does it surprise you, Lenny? I mean, I read before you said you didn't encounter much anti-Semitism at all growing up, but does it surprise you both that the level of anti-Semitism seems so out of proportion to the number of Jewish people? I mean, there are, what, 1,500 to 2,000 Jewish people in Ireland?
Yeah, less actually, fewer now. It does. I mean, it's an amazing sort of... Anti-Semitism is amazing in terms of how robust it is, you know, and how disconnected from any reality it can be. So because the whole idea of the whole sort of conspiracy, it's the original conspiracy theory. So you have a kind of a population who you can't quite distinguish from everybody else, like a kind of the myth of a sort of, a fifth column of bad actors who are kind of hidden in the society. So actually you don't need any facts to make that work. It is completely self-sustaining. It's a kind of an impenetrable intellectual or mental bubble that people can live inside. So yeah, and I remember when I went to Poland the first time, because my wife's Polish, by just amazing sort of circularity of life, I met somebody in Poland at a film festival, and we're together and have kids. And I do remember going there, and I was learning Polish at the time, and seeing a big sort of slogan written across this low wall by a block of flats. And I was translating it for myself really slowly because I was so bad at Polish. Eventually, it sort of clarified itself, and it was basically, you know, F the Jews is what it said. And it was like an incredible moment of kind of amazement to me, because really there aren't any anymore in Poland for very obvious reasons. And yet there it is. It survives as a kind of undefeatable ideology which can't be falsified.
And Oliver, I mean, obviously growing up alongside your mom, Holocaust survivors, and hearing stories of loved ones who were killed, it does colour your own sense of safety and security. I mean, you still dream, don't you, about having to flee your home? Tell me about that.
I don't really dream about it. I just, it's in my DNA. I'm always prepared. I just can never take my safety for granted. And it doesn't keep me up at night. It's just, how can I...
Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, your line isn't great. Keep going, Oliver.
Sorry. It's just for people like me from backgrounds like mine, that's quite common. You know, it's so close in time. I try to compare it to, I was born 23 years after the end of the war. So it's a generation after the war. And, you know, we all remember what we were doing 23 years ago. It's not very far away. So I hope that the generation that comes after me is free of this. But I can't pretend that it didn't happen. I have to live and navigate a world where this event happened at very close quarters to my family. And I also feel a great need to stand up and speak out, not just in terms of a kind of therapy for myself, but to speak for those loved ones whose lives were truncated.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring Lenny in there.
And to honour them.
Great, Oliver. Sorry, the line is slightly kind of breaks up now and then, but everyone is hearing what you're saying. And I know you're very involved, Oliver. You're a trustee of the Holocaust Education Trust here in Ireland, and the Auschwitz Museum does so much good. But Lenny, from your point of view, I think you describe yourself, I hope I'm right, as an atheist these days. But the Jewish part of your heritage, I think that has informed and influenced your work, has it?
Yes, I think it has. I mean, it's always hard to disentangle all the different influences and the bits that make you up. And I've never been a believer, and I did my bar mitzvah because it was a sort of cultural thing in the family, but I've never been a believer at all. But it's impossible to not be the person I am, and that person is made by, in large part by those traditions and kind of cultural breezes that blow in your childhood. You know, it's such a big part of who I am. And so, and also the really fascinating thing about having a Jewish background is that even if you did want to step away from it, it's not something that the world lets you step away from. I mean, that's how you're identified by other people, certainly, again, by people who wish you harm. You know, that's not, it's not a club you can resign membership of, and nor would I want to. But yeah, and in terms of my work, I don't know. I think growing up with a certain kind of perspective on the culture you're in by being a little bit distinct from the main kind of patterns of that culture, you know, not growing up in an Irish Catholic home or, you know, having that sort of connection to Middle and Eastern Europe, I think it does, if you're already sort of drawn to tell stories or to think about things in an artistic or creative way, I think that perspective is a useful one to have. So without me being able to kind of trace the particular lines, I know that it's such a big part of who I am, it has to have influenced the work I've done and the way that I've done it.
Now, I know you're both taking part in a public event in Trinity tomorrow online, which, and I'll give the details of that so people can participate. And before I go, my listeners will want me to ask you three very quick questions, Lenny. Are you making a film about Baby Bono?
No, I am not making a film about Baby Bono. I was as surprised as everybody else when I saw that on Twitter. No, I'm not.
And next big project?
We enjoyed making Normal People so much that we are lucky to be given the opportunity to make Conversations with Friends, which is Sally Rooney's first novel. So I am due to go into production with that early next year, kind of craziness and COVID permitting. That would be the next one.
And I know Normal People, it's going to live on because it's coming out in a book of scripts that's going to be published next week. Finally, is Kourtney Kardashian working as your publicist? I see she was back encouraging our 100 million plus social media followers to watch Normal People last week.
Yeah, we thought we'd hire a few. Yeah, you know, we sent her a couple of free DVDs and she's easy to get to. Yeah, it was like that whole thing was completely bizarre. I mean, particularly when it came out, we just, you know, I thought it was a kind of dream. I kept waking up and seeing these messages and tweets from people and kind of general hysteria. So, yeah, I didn't realize she'd done it again, but I'll have to check back to that. That's crazy.
Well, look, Lenny Abrahamson and Oliver Sears. Oliver, I didn't go back to you because your line's just a bit dodgy, but you're taking part in a public event tomorrow evening at 6:30. It's organised by the Herzog Centre at Trinity College, Dublin. You're going to be interviewed by journalist and broadcaster Sarah Carey. And anyone who'd like to join the online conversation entitled Why Talk About the Holocaust can register for free at tct.ie/Trinity Long Room Hub. Thanks so much to you both for chatting to me this morning. Mind yourselves.